Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Won't dig, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog.
It's a hug it out Monday. Best that we can do is just give you a big electronic hug. It's a slice of life here.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studio, 617-779-0985.
It's literally the first thing I thought of after that final play. It's like, it's a hug it out Monday, bro.
Yeah.
Slice of life.
It's Dan Shaughnessy calling it the worst non-playoff win loss in the history of Boston sports.
It sure did feel like it, man. That was just about as embarrassing an ending as you could possibly get. As a matter of fact, to the point where I came in early this morning because I wanted to hear. I got to listen to a lot of it in the car, like the first half, and already things were kind of building up to Scott Zolak kind of losing his mind. The one thing that I've known about, and Zolak's been very open about, is that Miami is apparently the worst stadium in the league to broadcast from.
Right.
Like the facilities are just absolutely horrendous.
Where they're positioned is you can't see anything.
Well, not only can you not see anything, they don't put monitors in the booth, which is inexcusable in the NFL. I mean, so any kind of replay, it's a little dirty secret. A lot of people, most of the time, can't really see what's going on the field, so they're watching it on TV. They're doing a lot of the play-by-play from the monitors they have. They don't even have that in the booth. So listening to them broadcast for the first half, I mean, most of the time, Soucy and Zolak are guessing as to which player made a tackle. They couldn't quite tell from where they were, so you can hear things kind of building up. So yesterday, I was thinking about it, and I came in early, and I'm like, I have to hear how those final minutes played out on the air. Like, starting with the Josh Gordon pass interference, where at that moment, I think everybody watching was like, okay, well, it's done. It's over with. They got the first down. They're probably going to score. Even if they don't get a touchdown, they're going to get a field goal, and then the Miami's going to have just seconds to score a touchdown. And it's just as wonderful a symphony of frustration that you can imagine. As a matter of fact, at 8 o'clock, we're going to play those 4 minutes in its entirety, starting from when Gostkowski makes the field goal all the way through to the end of it. And it is some of the most unbelievable radio that I have heard in a long time, including one of the most painful silences I've heard ever. Dan O'Brien's heard part of it, and it's just like,
oh, they're silent for like 40 seconds.
I've heard all, that's exactly.
Yeah. It's 40 seconds on a play-by-play seems like a million years.
On a game-ending play.
And what happens beforehand, man, and afterwards, Zolak is in his happy place. Like, just seconds before it all goes down. And then the way it ends is just unbelievable. So, yeah. It's some of the best radio that I've heard in a long time. Most compelling radio I've heard.
All right, Frank, go ahead, sir.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up,
hey,
Frank?
I just think it's funny that as much as that loss did suck yesterday, everything still came up the Patriots, because everybody who needed to lose still lost, and the Patriots still have their own way. I know it's not the number one seed, but the Chiefs don't look that great anymore. And
Chiefs look great. They find ways to win, and I know it was the Ravens.
You can't count on those plays, that throw across your body play. 40
he's done it all year.
Every single
dude,
time.
He's been great. And you could say what you will about it being the Ravens or whatever. Mahomes just, he's got that thing that Brady's had for all these years. They just find a way to win.
Well, Baltimore's not a bad team either.
Well, Lamar Jackson's been playing pretty well. How about RG3 getting some time yesterday, which was interesting. But yeah. I mean, the Chiefs, listen, the standings are still the same, but they can pretty much kiss the one seed goodbye. I mean, the AFC goes through Arrowhead. And I don't know what the hell's going on with the rest of the AFC. Even the NFL was on drugs yesterday. I mean, between what happened with the Rams and the Saints, despite the win, are having a hard time scoring, which is odd over the last couple of games. But, it's you can't take a lot of positive spin from what happened yesterday other than the fact that Gronkowski looked good. That's it. I mean, that's might be the only thing you could take away from yesterday's game.
Look good until the final play.
Well, which he shouldn't have been in there for. That's not his fault. That was a bad decision by the coaches.
Well, no, there was a terrible decision by the coaches. There was no McCourty in there.
Well, McCourty's the fastest guy in the team, and you don't put him in there.
There was no McCourty. There was no way. Tannehill said as much after the game. He said when he saw Gronkowski in there, they thought, all right, we got a chance.
Yeah.
Because he can't throw it 70 yards.
I know. That was one of the more. There were just so many occasions yesterday where it was just so unpatriot-like.
Yeah, Brady thinks they have a timeout at the end of the first half and takes a sack. There was many flaws. This team is very flawed.
Zolex tweeting this morning, dog's pretty big, and they just tweeted 200 miles to York. If you need that to get the taste out of your mouth, then why not? We'll bust that out as well.
Well, I mean, the man got paid.
It's a hug it out Monday, bro. That's all we know.
I mean, he got paid to do the game. I mean, at the end of the day, you take your money.
But he lives and dies with this team. We understand that, right?
He took it hard.
I think that washes off pretty quick.
Not for Zoe.
Yeah, I think that...
He's got more heart than you, man. That's what it comes down to.
That's right.
By the way, Marshall Hook filling in for Wallach.
He takes it very personally, unlike me, who has a safe distance from everything that's going on. Yeah, but, I mean, there's a... they're not going to catch Kansas City, but most likely, and now you have a situation with Houston. You could have had a situation with the Steelers, but they played on a mud field yesterday.
Well, the Steelers have lost three in a row. I mean,
Won that game yesterday. I mean, they were playing on a. Oakland just said, you know what, we're leaving. Why have a grounds crew?
Well, they're playing on the same field as Oakland.
Yeah, they also had Switzer fell down about 17 times on that grass.
It's kind of like. With the Chiefs finding a way to win, the Steelers lately have been finding a way to lose. Well, like they've been losing in ridiculous fashion. And yesterday they lost in ridiculous fashion. They muffed a field goal attempt.
No, yeah, because he was playing on basically ice. I mean, their kicker could get no footing.
And the week before, they got three offsides in a row to lose it. And then the week before that, Roethlisberger throws an interception one of the worst interceptions right into the end zone.
I don't know. You seem to be taking that interception a little bit harder than I would.
Oh, that was bad. The way they lost. I don't even remember they were playing 3 games ago. But, I mean, it's been 3 bad losses.
Well,
do you feel like there's a fourth? See, this to me sets up poorly for the Patriots. Like, I don't see the Steelers winning or losing 4 in a row.
I have no confidence in the Patriots going into any of these games after what I saw yesterday.
No, they can't play on the road, so the AFC Championship game, if they get to it, I mean, we might as well just go home.
Do I think the Patriots are the better team? Sure, but after what I saw yesterday, dude, who knows what the hell this team is? I really have no... Just the week before, we thought that their defense had finally figured things out, and then yesterday it was like, how many gigantic chunk plays can you give away to Brandon effing Bolden?
By the way, Roethlisberger missed about a quarter and a half of that game, too.
Yeah, broken with hurt ribs, which also doesn't help them next week.
Well, I mean, he played well when he came back. I mean, he'll be fine. I'll tell you what.
They lost to the Raiders. The Raiders.
They did lose to the Raiders without their starting quarterback, and also they were playing on ice.
Yeah, but they, I mean, they had their starting quarterback for most of the time.
The Raiders nearly beat who the week before? Was it the Rams? They nearly beat somebody the week before.
They did, yes. So they have three wins now, I think?
They're
they almost
better.
Beat Kansas City.
They're pretty good at almost beating teams.
Yeah. And they almost, they would have, if they played on any kind of normal field surface, they would have lost that game as well. Yeah, that was something else to watch. I don't even know how the Raiders are in the league. Between giving Gruden that 10-year deal.
Well, they fired the GM, I think. Didn't they do that yesterday? I think they dismissed the GM.
Yeah, to give Gruden more control.
Yeah, because you can't get rid of Gruden. You're stuck with him now.
Yeah, which is just insanity. That what an organization that is. I mean, they could... Listen, I know the Raiders played on the same field, but if I'm a professional athlete and I'm out there, I'm saying... And isn't there like a drought?
Well, Miami wasn't any great shakes either. I mean, how many times were they playing on that divot, that gigantic divot that Tom Brady had to avoid?
In the middle of the field.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty horrendous as well.
Yeah. Well, there was no footing at that game. It was really, it was really JV of that whole thing. All right, we'll be back, Rich, and I suppose we will talk more about this Patriots game.
Let's do it. And if you have a call or a comment about yesterday, please, it is a Hug About Monday. 617-779.
Don't even say that. Don't even. What are you doing?
It's a slice of life, bro. Come on.
Well, it's a slice of life here.
People might not know.
They know.
Best that we can do is just give you a big electronic hug.
Yeah, but there's an audience that maybe after a game doesn't know that, and they think you're
being
serious.
So Hug It Out Monday.
All right. I don't even want that remotely associated with this show. All right, so we'll be right back.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
What happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin'. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get 2 for $5 at Dunkin'. Dunkin' go twos. Participation may vary. The Patriots lose in Miami, and it's all John Wallach's fault.
A field of defensive backs and a hawking tight end who stands at the 15-yard line. Tannehill throws down the middle, caught by Stills, laterals back to Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40 of New England, angling inside to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. He's going to win the foot race to the end zone. The Dolphins are going to win it.
It's all because of Wallach's gap-toothed head being in the stadium.
How funny is it that that eagle, he flew and then he had to change planes like in Philadelphia or something. Then he flew to West Palm. And then so he flew to West Palm and then they had to drive like an hour and a half to get to that stupid game. And then he had to drive back to West Palm. How thrilling is it that he had to sit there with his family and watch the end of that game? He probably had already left.
By that point, they might have, possibly. All I know is it was 80 degrees, so that part didn't suck. Well, the Patriots have lost 5 of their last 6 meetings in Miami, and yesterday's was the biggest nut punch of them all. 34-33, the final score in a game where so many points were left on the field that it almost became comical. The first indication that things weren't going to be normal was immediately after a surgical first drive by Tom Brady when the otherwise nailed Steven Gostkowski shanked the PAT.
Cardona snap to Allen. Kick is aloft to the uprights, and it bangs off the right upright. No good. Looked like there might have been a little trouble for Allen to get the ball.
He missed one.
Down.
He missed
it's
one.
Run around.
He missed a 33-yarder in a team warm-up.
Mm-hmm.
But despite Tom Brady and his receivers having one of their best collective games, the defense was an embarrassment, keeping Miami in the game one chunk play after the next.
Former Patriot Brandon Bolden in the lineup. He motions into the back. Tannehill under center, first and 10. And with a give to Bolden, burst up the middle, runs it to the near side, 35-30 in a foot race, beating Harmon to the 5 to the end zone. Touchdown, Miami.
God, I miss that kid. How many times have we seen him spring that outside? So many people put Bold down, say he's just a special teams guy.
I don't know many people who are talking about Brandon Bolden, to be quite honest.
No, but I mean, I didn't really do a lot.
Well, the Patriots D allowed Brandon
Bolden. I mean, I miss him terribly.
I mean, it sounds like Zolak did. Well, he looked like Todd Gurley yesterday as he ripped off a 54-yard touchdown run, as well as a 6-yarder for his second. Runs of 36 and 24 yards from Frank Gore, and Tannehill was able to fire off passes of 23, 21, and 43 yards. It was just an atrocity. Speaking of quarterbacks, for the majority of the game, Brady was excellent. It's the best we've seen him all year. 358 yards, 3 touchdowns, great chemistry the rest of the offense. But then he blows all of that with the most un-Brady-like play at the end of the half when he did this.
No timeouts for either team. With Gordon to the right, joined by Gronkowski, motions in that direction. Two receivers left, White in the backfield as Brady takes the snap. Stands in under pressure. He's hit, and down he goes. Brady is sacked and back at the 10-yard line, and the Patriots cannot clock it. With the clock counting down and time expiring on the opening half.
Are you kidding me?
The Patriots.
Are you kidding me?
Indeed allowed the sack
to
occur.
He's got to throw that away.
And Tom Brady with an uncharacteristic mistake after he missed Hogan.
Nathan Peterman saying, even I wouldn't have done that. Well, not to mention the play before that.
Let's not go crazy.
Brady completely missed a wide-open Chris Hogan on the play directly before that happened. And then what an ending, with one of the more ridiculous moments being Rob Gronkowski somehow on the field, tripping over himself in that final play, which sucks because if that play never happened, the only thing Gronk we would have been talking about is how he was back from the dead with 107 yards and a touchdown. But now all anyone wants to know is why he was on the field for that play. Ryan Tannehill, for one, was glad that he was.
I was kind of trailing along. Play kind of got messed up. Kenny was able to – I saw Kenyon there. I'm like, pitch it. He pitches it. And KD came back inside. I kind of had a great view of the whole thing. Came back inside. Then I saw him and Gronk about 10 yards away. I was like, Gronk's on the field. We got this, you know. So it was pretty amazing. You know, just I was falling behind, and I actually kind of just turned around and collapsed just with the emotion of the whole thing.
Ooh, when Tannehill's trolling you. Gronk's on the field. We got this. Hey.
Well, he was right. I mean, there's no way. Tannehill's saying, I can't throw the ball 70 yards.
Well, Bill,
so,
I know, but I mean.
I was driving. I don't care, man, woman, or child, Patriots fan or not. Very exciting play. Well, that's what you pay your money for.
Oh, it's one of the more ridiculous plays.
Once in a decade. And so I'm driving home from my son's basketball game, having to go to a basketball practice, and I hear the play on the radio, and I immediately run inside and to take a gander at it. And, that's what you pay your money for. Right there.
Well, Bill Belichick, why did you put Gronk on the field instead of Devin McCourty, arguably the team's fastest player?
Gronk on the field in that last play, you anticipate a Hail Mary. Is he, his job on that play is what, as far as Gronk on the field?
They could throw it deeper. They could run the Desperado-type play, which is kind of in-between. 20-yard pass, and then it turned into Desperado.
All right, so I've been hearing people defend Gronk being on the field by saying, well, it was a Hail Mary defense play, the way they used to put Randy Moss in there for that. And to that I say, who the hell thought Ryan Tannehill could throw the ball 70 yards?
No, he can't throw the ball 70 miles, 70 yards.
No,
he can't. He can't.
No, it was a bad decision. It was one of those things where they just said, all right, it's an end of the game play. Throw him in there. And they didn't quite think this one through. As for Brady leaving points on the board at the end of the first half, at least he owned up to what the hell happened.
No, that was a terrible play by me. That should never happen. I just lost track. I thought we had one timeout. We called the one, and then we ran a couple plays, and I was just not thinking on third down. So it was just a play that should never happen.
All right, so let's think about all the missed opportunities and points potentially left on the field yesterday, because there were a lot of them. First, the missed extra point by Guskowski. Then, Stephon Gilmore had what looked like a guaranteed pick six go right through his fingers. And then Guskowski misses a field goal that he usually makes. Brady takes a sack at the end of the half, but not before missing that wide-open Chris Hogan in the end zone. That's up to 18 points that the Patriots all but wasted yesterday. Gross. Let's even just like half that. Let's just say it's like 9. Just because, let's say that what's-his-name doesn't get the pick six, and you get a field goal instead of a touchdown at the end of the game, at the end of the half. Chris Hogan doesn't get a touchdown. I mean, it was just one mistake after the next, and it was probably one of the more unpatriot-like games that we have seen in a long time.
And
on that final drive, I mean, there's only 16 seconds left because they couldn't get a running first down at any point. They couldn't gain anything. They just kept running Sony Michel into the line for 0 yards.
Well, the run game was off. For as good as the passing game was yesterday, the run game was awful. They couldn't get anything going. James White, Sony Michel, no matter what they threw out there, nothing was there. And by the way, all week we'd heard that Miami had like the third worst run defense in the league. So everyone thought that that was going to be the playbook. Sony Michel, James White, but every
James
time
White,
they tried
one reception, no runs. I mean, they didn't even go to him at all yesterday. You don't think at some point during that final, I hesitate to call it a drive. I mean, they got a gimme field goal at the end of it. They couldn't do anything with him. They couldn't do it. Just it looked as though they weren't even trying. They're like, well, we'll burn the clock. We'll run into their line three times, and then we'll eventually kick a field goal. The only first goal they got was on the pass interference call, the first sprint down they got.
They were killing the clock. I mean, that's what they were trying to do, and then they figured if they had a five-point lead with 19 seconds left, that they'd be fine. But then they had,
But one running first down, you kill the clock to end the game.
No, I understand that.
So if you get that, then the game's over, and they never had the chance to do that.
Right.
Tomfoolery they did on the last play.
I think that they were fairly comfortable taking the five-point lead with 19 seconds left.
We see how that turned out.
That's right. You saw that coming a mile away.
However, I think one of my favorite moments of the game yesterday was when the Patriots were knocking on the door at the very end, and they were trying to score, and they ended up going for the field goal. There was Dan Fouts, the always astute Dan Fouts, who had this opinion about what maybe Miami should let the Patriots do.
The best Miami could do is get the football with 15 seconds left.
Or they could just let him score here.
Bouncing, Michelle. You do the numbers there, and then they have to hope for a missed extra point just to still be within striking range.
Yeah, Fouts not only is bad at his job, I think that, like, something's wrong with him. Yeah, so let him score, get up by 9. But, you know, you save yourself about 10 seconds. I mean, Lockhart texted us during that. Fouts has lost his mind.
Yeah.
Like, who can't do that math?
Well, there's sometimes he just isn't watching the same game we are.
But that doesn't require watching the game. It requires knowing that 7 + 2 = 9, a touchdown with a two-point conversion is worth 8. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, no, you can't let him score there.
It's the simplest of math.
Well, that's what I found myself doing the math. I'm like, am I missing something? Wait, let me run these numbers again and see if I end up in the same place.
Yeah, you don't need an IBM 10-foot by 10-foot computer to run those numbers. He is just an idiot.
By the way,
I never noticed the guys. I rarely notice them.
Sure,
and believe me, I hear some crappy color guys with the stupid games I watch. I mean, Spielman and all these other idiots. But Fouts is a special kind of dummy. I mean, he is dumb.
Yeah, that solidified it yesterday.
He
said some stuff before where I just thought that he wasn't watching. And, like, he just turned and tried to make a comment that had nothing to do with the game. But that was just, boy, you really are dumb.
He could have been gone the entire game, walked into the booth, right, and not said that.
Just look at the score.
Or just say nothing. There's no requirement for you to say something.
I give credit to the guy with him to do some math to try to make it seem like that made a little bit of sense.
Ian Eagle is the consummate pro, and he's trying to not make him right. He's trying
if
to nicely
miss the extra point, then maybe that makes sense.
Yeah, you'd have to hope they missed the extra point. Well, he missed an extra point earlier in the
it's
game.
True.
All right, we will have the headlines. We'll be right back.
They throw it down. They try to pitch it, and they do. To Parker. Parker pitches it. And it's
Greg! 30! 20! Gronkowski's got a tackle!
Oh, that one!
I don't believe what I just saw.
Oh,
return. No flag. No flag. And the game is over.
Did the Miami play-by-play guys pull it? And there ain't no flag!
And they also pulled, I can't believe what I just saw, which is a hacky thing to do. Be listening at 6:50 this morning for your chance to score $100 from Seasons 52. That's a gift card and 1 hour massage from Elements Massage. Pick up your gift cards in-store or at elementsmassage.com. That gift is always in style. That's coming up at 6:50.
By the way, if you would like to opine about yesterday's disastrous loss, 617-779-0985. And I was reading a thing from Ben Volen this morning, and you're talking about the playoff scenarios and where everything landed. Now, we know that the seeding didn't change yesterday, but with the Chiefs winning and the Patriots losing and a ton of other people losing yesterday, the Steelers lost. Now, the Chiefs, okay, so here's the deal. The Patriots own the head-to-head tiebreaker thanks to their Week 6 win over the Chiefs, but now Kansas City has to lose at least two of its last three games to even have a chance at the number one seed, and the Patriots pretty much need to win out. So the Chiefs host the Chargers on Thursday night and play at Seattle the next week. So, I mean, it's not impossible for the Patriots to pull it off, but the Patriots' chances of catching the Chiefs in the standings are tough because, by the way, they don't even have the second-best chance of getting the number one seed right now. That would be the Chargers, because they are now 10-3. They beat the Bengals yesterday, and they sit right now at number 5 as the top wildcard team. But they still have a chance to win the AFC West and the number one seed. Once again, they're going head-to-head with the Chiefs, especially if they beat them Thursday night. And if the Patriots and Chargers end up tied in the standings, then the second playoff tiebreaker is record in conference games, and the Chargers are now 7-2, and the Patriots are 6-3. So, I mean, yesterday's loss was a big deal no matter how you slice it. Even if they stay that way in the standings, there is a chance that the Chargers could actually be next for the two seed, and then all of a sudden you're playing an extra game, which obviously no one wants to do. Gronkowski yesterday was asked about that final play, and here's what he had to say.
We practiced that play a few times for the Hail Mary. You guys seen it before. Just go up, get the ball. I mean, but they changed up a little bit, and it just ended sucky.
Yes, you did, but I don't blame him because he shouldn't have been in there in the first place.
I don't know. You take any kind of.
You think he should have been in there?
No, I don't think he should have been in there, but I think that there's. I mean, as a professional athlete with that kind of time, I think that he should have found an angle where he could have taken him down.
You know, that's the only defensive play Devin McCourty was not in on.
Yeah.
The entire game.
I have no idea why they had, like, a hands team in there or whatever the hell it is with, first of all, they rushed 4, which I have no idea why they rushed 4. And second of all, yeah, you have Gronkowski out there to bat balls down that are not going to make it to the end zone. So you're putting him in there with the sole purpose of him chasing someone down, which he couldn't do. I mean, he took a terrible angle there.
But he tripped over himself.
Yeah. I mean, he had an angle on the, I mean, he's playing back. I mean, he's playing all the way back. Nothing should get by him. I mean, he has a good, 30 yards to figure out what's going on?
But, like, isn't Devin McCourty also one of the best tacklers on this team?
Yes, Devin McCourty is arguably their best defensive player.
$50 million man. And you leave him off the field. I don't know. Just a massive head scratcher. But what are you going to do? I mean, they didn't. I mean, in the end, they really did not deserve to win that game. And it was just to do that in such an embarrassing fashion.
No, they couldn't stop the run. And they made mistakes, as we've gone over in the first half. And then the missed field goal and extra point. Yeah, they put themselves in a situation where they should have. I mean, they obviously felt that they were going to win that game, as did everyone. I mean, the probability of them losing it was probably around under 1%.
And by the way, I mean, these were big plays that the Patriots defense were giving up. As a matter of fact, the Patriots, they ran 82 plays yesterday. Guess how many the Dolphins ran?
Oh, 50?
48. 48 to 82. And you end up being 1 point apart.
I mean, here's the thing. When you have superstars like Brandon Bolden on your team, you know, what do you expect?
Well, listen, he was extra motivated yesterday. He was going against his own team.
If before yesterday's game, if I'd asked either of you where Brandon Bolden was playing, would you have been able to tell me he was a member of the Dolphins?
No, and in fact, I wouldn't have. I was at someone's house for part of the game that said, oh, Brandon Bolden just scored a touchdown, and I'm like, Bolden's still on the Patriots. Isn't Bolden like the big special teams guy on the Patriots?
And think about that, too. They lost that game after blocking two punts.
Yeah.
Like, that almost never happens. Like, if your team pulls off two, like, blocked punts, most of the time, you're looking at a pretty convincing win.
I mean, to be honest, if there were ever a game in which neither team deserved to win, that would be yesterday's game. Because for all of the attention that Miami is getting today, they sucked in so many different ways. The sacks of Tannehill were ugly and huge and came at bad times, so their defense wasn't doing a lot either. Tannehill, I mean, I know this isn't breaking news. He's not a good quarterback. So, and then Brock Osweiler's three plays were glorious when he got in there at the end of the first half. Neither of those teams deserved to win that game.
Yeah. Well, Osweiler was just confused after the game. They kept showing him, and he was like, what? David, go ahead.
Hi. I'm not trying to act bitter or anything, but have anyone noticed why or that Troy Brown is always just beaming from the eyes whenever the Patriots lose a big game?
Where do you say that?
He will be in studio, yeah, so we can ask him such a thing. Do you think that it's maybe, now that he's not on the team, he likes when they lose?
I'm not saying that, but just go back and watch whenever the Patriots lose a Super Bowl or a big game. Everyone is just sad. You know, he's just smiling. He's cheering. Like, oh, yesterday he was cheering. It was just, it's just getting kind of obvious. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but just don't say I am until you guys do a little, homework on it.
All right.
Troy, he'll be in here in a few.
We'll say, why do you hate the Patriots so much?
According to our listeners.
We'll say, yes, very bad.
Yeah, yeah. There was it's funny because now, ever since, with that ridiculous ending, there's several networks who have leaked out footage of what their on-air crew was doing while they were watching it off camera. We'll play Troy's for him when he gets in studio in about 15 minutes. But Dan Roach was out at CBS Scene, and he was there with Christian Fourier. And so the way that I guess that they're set up there is that they're in the bar, but in front of them they have the CBS feed, and it's about 10 seconds before the people in the bar sitting right next to them see it on the big screens. So here is Dan Roach and Christian Fourier seeing it, and then about like 5 seconds afterward, you will hear the reaction of the crowd at the CBS Scene.
Oh. Jesus. What are they doing, dude? Oh, that's it. Get him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Oh, you're not going to like this.
Holy crap, huh?
Holy crap.
Holy crap.
I have to applaud them for not swearing, even though they're not on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy in the background sounds like he had something to say.
Yeah, yeah. You just heard that swell of, whoa! Then the standing in disbelief, much like Scott Zolak did yesterday.
But, I mean, that's hard. That's a hard play not to go like, whoa! Like, what's going on?
Oh, no matter what. I mean, it's going to be one of the plays of the season.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, how often do you see that? Not often.
In high school games. You see it a lot in high school games. Not so much in the NFL.
You get one of those in college about once every, what, 2 years? Yeah. Something like that happens?
Yeah, that seems rather generous. But I don't give... I know Gronkowski's on the field and he shouldn't have been on the field and that was completely mismanaged, but... You got to make that. You got to push that guy out of bounds. I mean, he had all the time in the world to figure out what was going on.
But like seven guys didn't do their job before Gronkowski.
Okay, but
seven guys who should be expected to do that.
But if I'm literally 60 yards,
Jackson, in front of his was the most egregious.
But if I'm 60 yards in front of the play,
and I'm watching everything happen. I mean, I have to be able to find and somewhat of an angle to get the guy down. All right, Rich, what else will we talk about?
All right, we will quickly mention the Bruins because the last two games have been pretty good character wins and a disaster averted when it comes to Charlie McAvoy.
All right, so we'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group. Contest line 617-931-0985. We'll score $100 seasons, 52 gift card, and a one-hour massage from Elements Massage. Pick up your gift cards in-store or at elementsmassage.com. The gift that's always in style.
Well, after one of the worst games of the year, the Bruins rip off two character wins in a row.
Marchand pulls it near dot to Krejci. Darts back in the cage. Krejci trying to bank it out in front. They score! Krejci finds Torrey Krug just about 5 feet off the near post. Hammers it by McKenna. An overtime victory for the Bruins. 2-1 here in Ottawa.
Well, first they knock off Toronto on Saturday, and last night they continue to right the ship with a win against the Senators. 2-1 in overtime. On top of that, seems like the Bruins dodged a pretty scary bullet after Saturday night.
Set up by Halak for McAvoy. He'll reverse it.
Oh, he just got leveled by Hyman. Hyman's going to get a penalty. Grizzlick going after Hyman. Grizzlick just got his stick up. They're going to drop the gloves.
Center circle, and McAvoy is still down.
Yeah, an absolute cheap shot on Charlie McAvoy.
And it's unexcusable. They have to punish him.
They did.
They had to punish him.
Two games he ended up getting for that hit, Zach Hyman.
I mean, he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that McAvoy was coming off a concussion. That was done with malice. That was insane.
And is that unfortunately, Fred, the sad reality that the Bruins are in right now as they sit there with no real tough guy? I don't want to say enforcer. That's not the right term. But no one that they know will be able to buck up and protect
Cassidy,
these guys.
Cassidy said people are taking liberties, but in defense of the Bruins, I mean, they stepped up after that.
It was, I mean, listen, as I said, you're right. It was a character win, and the fact that they did that showed a lot of...
Chara and Miller helped that. I mean, you're not going to go out and get an enforcer. That's just a complete waste of resources. But, yeah, I mean, people are taking liberties with them. And say what you want about fighting in the NHL or say what you want about it going out the window, teams are taking liberties.
And Bruce Cassidy had this to say, by the way, after all that.
Thought it was late, thought it was unnecessary. You know, if the league takes a look at it, I guess, I don't know if they will or not. Usually they do on those if there's a major involved. So, but again, it's one of those things, you're at the point of the game and hasn't been a lot of body checking from their team. All of a sudden there's a late, blind, unsuspecting one. It annoys you, especially when it's Charlie who's just come back. So you wonder, are they targeting him or not? You know, you don't know that. I'd like to think it was just a guy playing hard and got there late and didn't pull up.
I like how he said later on, it's like, you know, but if they want to, you know, play hard all the way to the end, then we'll match them.
Oh, yeah. The next time they play Toronto, it's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
If you enjoy violence, I mean, they have to.
It's a great win, too. It's a very good team.
Yes. I mean, it's a necessary win. Mm-hmm. They were falling behind, and now they're kind of righted the ship. And every day that goes by is another chance to get someone back. So hopefully that continues.
And that should be soon, too. Like, if you believe the timeline that they threw out there when Chara was first injured, it's right about this week that he was supposed to be reevaluated. And now, that doesn't mean anything. It just means that's when they're going to revisit the situation and just see how well he'll be in order to hopefully start skating again. But the timeline says right now, 4 weeks, should be right about now that they're going to end up looking at him again. So we shall see. What's Patrice? Isn't he supposed to kind of be looked at around the same time, too?
Yeah, but it's not believed that that's the end of it. It's like they're going to reevaluate him, and then they're going to see how he's doing. What is it, like in a broken sternum or something?
Yeah. That seems a little more serious than what Chara's got.
But. Yeah, so they were going to look at him again, and hopefully they say, all right, well, he doesn't need any more procedures, but I don't think that he's in any danger of coming back that soon.
I wouldn't think so. Should we take a quick call before Troy Brown is here?
Why not? Let's go to Al. Al, go ahead.
Yeah, just a couple points, guys. Stephon Gilmore, the pick six that he missed, reminded me so much of Asante Samuel when we played the Giants in the Super Bowl almost kind of like the same play, right through his hands. The game could have ended, you know, had it under control. But, you know, it was what it was. But let me tell you, having the two backs, the brothers there, the McCourty.
McCourty's, yeah.
Yes.
But Jason McCourty should be cut. You're not entitled because your brother's here. He shouldn't even be on the frickin' team. The only play on defense that was good was their defensive line. They were in Tannehill's backyard all day. And for Gronk to be out there and waiting for a 70-yard pass, that never is going to happen. Gronk can catch the ball, but he can't run afterwards. He has no mobility whatsoever. I mean, it just pissed me off.
Here was the most frustrating thing yesterday, Al, was that we don't know who the hell this team is. Like, last week, we thought that the defense had finally figured things out. We're like, all right, what a perfect time to get this going. It's December, and now it seems like everyone's cohesive, and it was a win against a pretty good offense. And then what happened yesterday happened, and as I said, 82 plays that the Patriots had to 48. So most of the plays were just huge plays that defense was giving up. And by the way, I disagree about Jason McCourty. I think he's actually been okay this
No, Jason
season.
McCourty has been better than expected.
Yeah, yeah.
I also disagree about their defensive line because they got absolutely murdered in the running game. So, I mean, I mean, they got a lot of pressure on Tannehill. Congratulations, but there was run stopping was non-existent. All right, Troy Brown is here. He's been crunching numbers in the lobby, and he has been going over the statistics. We will talk to him. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.